We have Hugo Jai in the UK as our correspondent today. It's like Groundhog Day, regrettably, Hugo. Every time we talk to a correspondent this week, it's the second wave, and that's certainly hitting Britain.
Yeah, sadly, that's right. Just like the rest of Europe and indeed much of the rest of the world, we're right in the middle of the COVID second wave. The pace of growth seems to have slowed a little bit, thankfully. We're no longer seeing that sort of totally runaway growth, but we're still seeing more than 20,000 confirmed cases every day. Unlike the last time, they seem to be more geographically concentrated, particularly in areas in the north of England, cities like Manchester and Liverpool. So the government is taking a regional approach rather than they're trying to avoid a second national lockdown, obviously terrible for the economy and for society in general. So they're trying to extend the toughest restrictions, which we're calling tier three restrictions, only to those COVID hotspots, while keeping relatively sort of liberal rules in place for the rest of the country.
It has come with a hiss and a roar too, hasn't it, really? And we've seen this approach of trying to do different tiers. There's been a lot of pushback from different regions over this approach. Is it holding together?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The Labour Party is saying we shouldn't have a regional approach, we should have a national approach. And the local leaders in all of these COVID hotspots are saying, well, wait a minute, you're singling us out for the economic damage, while places like London and the south of England, which are more prosperous anyway, are allowed to stay open. So it's not resolved. Right now, a national lockdown does look unlikely, but we're going to have to wait and see over the next couple of weeks if the government's approach succeeds in driving case numbers down. Then they'll stick with that, obviously, but there is a chance they're going to have to change gear because of this growing backlash.
The Brexit standstill continues. We might park that one this week, Hugo, because it never really seems to move. I know the negotiators are still speaking every day, it seems, by phone, but still no breakthrough, and really the talks are
well,
stalled.
Actually, there has been a breakthrough in the last few hours.
Okay, carry on.
The standstill is inching forward. Just in the last few hours, they've agreed to speed up the talks, and finally, after all this time, they're finally working on an actual text of a trade deal. They've set themselves a target of 2 or 3 weeks to get this done. So it is a little bit Groundhog Day on Brexit, but we are now in the end game, and we should know within 2 or 3 weeks whether or not there is going to be a free trade deal at last.
What's brought this breakthrough?
As I say, what's brought the breakthrough is that the UK walked out of talks last week and said it's not going to work because the EU is saying all the movement has to come from the UK's side. Today, the EU has come forward and said, OK, we're willing to compromise too. It's going to be movement on both sides. And the UK has said, OK, we're back at the negotiating table. If we're both willing to move on the outstanding issues of fisheries and subsidies for business, then we're in business.
All right. Now, the football wars. This is the Premier League clubs being accused of being a greedy. What's happening?
Yeah, so, this is a perennial topic across the world, of course. Fans still shut out of Premier League stadiums. So instead they can stream games online, but they're being charged £15 a game, which is roughly 30 New Zealand dollars, which has sparked quite a lot of anger from fans who say that they're being ripped off. At the same time, the biggest clubs are trying to grab even more of the economic pie by proposing yet another European Super League that would concentrate more power in clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United. But I would say it's not all bad news. There are some in the football world who are showing a different side to the game. The young star Marcus Rashford, only 22 years old, striker for England and Manchester United, has reinvented himself as a campaigner for poor school kids who can't afford to feed themselves. He is leading a political campaign to try and force the government to give free meals to these children, not just in the school terms, but in the holidays too. He's really become a sort of voice of the nation, and drawn a lot of admiration for showing the positive role models that footballers can be.
Thank you, Hugo. Hugo Jai, UK correspondent.